Reverse logistics roadmap. Reverse logistics is defined in the ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary as a complete supply chain dedicated to the reverse flow of products and materials for the purpose of returns, repair, remanufacture, and/or recycling. The ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines the reverse supply chain as the planning and controlling of the processes of moving goods from the point of consumption back to the point of origin for repair, reclamation, recycling, or disposal. The reverse supply chain is a complete chain, a mirror image of the forward chain that carried the product to the customer in the first place. As such, it has operations that are similar to those in the forward chain: customer service, marketing in reverse, warehousing and transportation going in the opposite direction, unpackaging, disassembly, and disposition in the form of resale, remanufacturing, recycling, a return to raw materials, donation or disposal. The products in the reverse chain won't necessarily move through the same nodes as products in the forward chain because fewer and different warehouses may be required. Exhibit 5-30 shows the direction of material and cash flows in the reverse supply chain and lists some reverse logistics activities. Exhibit 5-30, Reverse Logistics, Source, APIC CSCP Learning System, 2024 edition. Reverse logistics can occur not only as customers are returning products that were purchased, but also as retailers or distributors return products that failed to sell. For example, if there are contractual agreements to take back unsold inventory for some amount of refund or rebate on future purchases, or were defective. Similarly, manufacturers might return defective or excess components to suppliers. As a relatively new concern, reverse logistics does not yet have the same level of support by strategists and software engineers as forward logistics, but it isn't a small phenomenon. In some online businesses, returns can be as high as 50%. In addition, returns can include containers, etc., as well as products. At one time, Estee Lauder was dumping about $60 million worth of its products into landfills every year. Some estimates put the total spend on reverse logistics in the United States as high as $50 billion, with the value of returned goods at around $550 billion. Strategic solutions are on the way, though. Reverse logistics is often a required cost of doing business, especially in a customer-is-always-right world. It can be a severe drain on organizational profitability and could eventually contribute to an organization's demise if it is continually just an expensive afterthought. However, if it is handled strategically and the organization invests time and energy in planning the returns, repairs, reuse, recycling, and responsible disposals they are obligated to handle, including the disposal of hazardous waste, the organization can, in some cases, generate revenue from these sources to offset the costs, and the costs themselves can be kept reasonable by focusing on smart policy and efficient practices. Many major companies have taken up the challenge of improving their management of the reverse flow of products, among them Dell, HP, Home Depot, Lenovo, and Google. Since at this point, reverse logistics is unlikely to be a core business for many companies, 3PLs and 4PLs are adding reverse logistics to their portfolios. UPS, for instance, features its expertise on its website. Genco ATC is a 3PL that has been in the reverse logistics business since the 1980s and includes clients such as Walmart, Target, Levi's, Dell, and Kraft Heinz. It also sells reverse logistics software for the retail industry. The focus needs to be on integrating returns, recalls, repairs, remanufacturing, and other end-of-life topics into the supply chain so that these can not only be dealt with efficiently, but also become a source of revenue. National and local governments are increasing regulations in this area, so getting reverse logistics right will help compliance be just a regular part of doing business and keep waste and hazardous materials out of landfills. Reverse information, cash, and product flow. Information, cash, and products flow through the reverse logistics chain just as in the forward chain. Software for managing this process does exist, but isn't as well adopted as software for forward logistics applications. Reverse information flows and reverse logistics information systems. Legacy systems cannot effectively be used for tracking returns. Cloud-based systems will be needed to capture data on product identifiers and link them to the point of return, the reason for the return, for example, defective, unsatisfactory, incorrect order, unsold or excess inventory, repairs or refurbishment, remanufacture or regulatory recycling or disposal, and warranty status. The status of each product also needs to be tracked from its entry into the reverse flow until its final disposition, along with the costs or revenues accumulated at each step. A bill of material for disassembly can be produced to help track the disposition of components. Unique product, and in some cases, subcomponent identifiers are needed for this type of information to be tracked. The path that a returned item takes through the reverse supply chain may also require the management of new partners that handle tasks such as material recovery. An organization also needs information on product failures for product redesign or recall purposes. Organizations lacking reverse logistics information systems will need to acquire these to provide the required visibility, possibly as add-ons to existing systems. Such systems should be capable of managing return center operations, repair, remanufacture and recycling centers, product recalls, vendor returns, and tracking, tracing, and compliance reporting. Reverse cash flows. Cash flows in the reverse supply chain take the form of credits and discounts. This all needs to be done as simply as possible from the perspective of the customer, who is often not happy while these transactions are taking place, as well as placing the least possible burden on customer service. Product return policies should match strategy. The total cost of returns needs to be calculated in the aggregate by product line. Reverse product flows. Product returns require reverse forecasting and establishment of locations for collecting, reprocessing, or disposing of the goods on their return trips. Reverse logistics benefits. The benefits of a carefully designed reverse logistics supply chain that maximizes resource conservation, reuse of components, and recycling of materials include potential for highly lucrative customer service contracts and extended warranties, especially if the products are well-designed and reliable. Mitigation or elimination of the unprofitable effects of high-volume returns. Enhanced customer loyalty and corporate reputation. Return of valuable raw materials for other industrial uses. Development of more efficient products and logistical tactics. Profits from resale of refurbished products and parts that would otherwise go into landfills at a cost to the company. Creation of new types of jobs. More efficient use of energy. Conservation of resources for future generations. Reduced emission of many greenhouse gases and water pollutants. Development of greener technologies. Reduced need for new landfills and incinerators. A key benefit of reverse logistics is that many activities can generate revenue. These revenues come from several sources. Service contracts and extended warranties bring in substantial cash flows and provide peace of mind for customers. Remanufactured products and recovered materials are finding profitable markets. Repair fees can be in excess of repair costs. Recycling fees can offset any costs involved in taking back products. Charges for recycling motor oil after an oil change, for example, are now taken for granted in some markets. Reverse logistics costs. Costs from several sources have to be considered when determining profitable fees and prices, for example, costs for providing return labels and packaging. Other associated expenses affect the supply chain in the following ways. Only a small percentage of returned items may be easily restocked or resold. Warranty repairs have to be charged off. Spare parts may be needed for repairs. There may be special processing and handling costs involved in return materials, including new packaging for resale items. Freight costs can be high for sporadic low-volume shipment, and extra transportation legs may have to be added to the network to accommodate destinations specific to returns and recycling. Warehousing costs can be higher for small numbers of items that need to be restocked or stored in separate locations. Total cost calculations for returns sum the various revenues and deduct the various expenses. This amount can be tracked for benchmarking purposes and for comparison to other options in a make versus buy analysis. The total cost of reverse logistics can be calculated as follows. Processes for managing reverse logistics. Key processes that supply chain managers need to be able to perform related to managing reverse logistics are identifying requirements of reverse logistics, designing a reverse strategy and process, implementing reverse logistics. The following is a general overview of these processes. Identifying requirements of reverse logistics. Identifying the requirements of reverse logistics involves the following steps. assessing the as-is state of reverse logistics strategy and processes, determining the stakeholders for each product family's reverse logistics requirements, for example, customers, finance, and other executives, health, safety, and environmental regulators, interest groups, transporters, and 3PLs, etc., gathering requirements from each stakeholder group, consolidating and categorizing requirements, determining the impact of stakeholder requirements on strategic priorities, for example, customer service impact, reviewing organizational and supply chain strategy to determine if stakeholders' reverse supply chain requirements necessitate modifications to these strategies. For example, these requirements are often overlooked during strategic planning. Designing reverse strategy and process. Designing a reverse strategy and process involves the following steps. Prioritizing requirements based on organizational and supply chain strategy. Designing the to-be state of reverse logistics, either during the product development and introduction stages or as modifications to existing operations. Analyzing the gaps between the as-is and to-be states. Developing a quantitative and qualitative benefit-cost analysis to justify strategic choices and trade-offs. Generating a reverse logistics strategy, including how the strategy might need to change at various points in the product lifecycle. Influencing executive support to champion and lead the strategy and allocate funding. Designing information systems and network locations for reverse supply chain activities. Designing processes and policies for each product, subcomponent, waste item, and raw material entering the reverse logistics hierarchy. For example, whether to reduce, reuse, recycle, recover energy during disposal, or dispose in a responsible landfill. Implementing reverse logistics. Implementing reverse logistics involves the following steps: gaining final executive approval and funding for specific infrastructure and process changes or contract negotiations to implement the strategy, planning and implementing projects to change processes and infrastructure, contracting with third-party participants, using change management and training to alter the culture of the organization to support the changes over the long term, setting up metrics and goals for monitoring and controlling operations and customer service impact, monitoring and controlling the processes and operations, gathering feedback and implementing continuous improvement.